Hello and welcome to the First Impressions podcast. I'm your host, Martin McKay, and along with my friend, Chris John Riley, we record the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. We look forward to seeing you this year at the 37th Annual FIRST Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. The dates are June 22nd through June 27th, 2025. And now we join our interview in progress. Hello, I'm Martin McKay, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris John Riley. And today we're talking to Lauren Tam and Steve McKinney from Stripe. How are the both of you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you.
So your talk is Response via Prevention Engineering. That's a mouthful, but what does it mean? And what is the synopsis of what your talk is going to be about?
Yeah, so largely we'll be talking about prevention engineering kind of in the context of or within detection and response functions at an organization. A lot of times, detection and response functions will approach problems either via adding more detections or doing more response work. And so we're trying to think about how do we step back and prevent the bad thing from happening in the first place. We'll talk about the program that we ran for the past couple of years, specifically hardening macOS devices. We'll talk through kind of what we did, how we approached the problem, and then how it all worked out in the end.
Now, Lauren, you are officially the program manager for this, and that tells me it's a step above most of the security projects that I hear about because it actually had somebody tying everything together.
Yeah, this was a pretty cross-functional program, and since it affected the entirety of the company and everyone uses the device, I wanted to make sure that there was a nice bow around it. And we took into account all the different opinions and all the different pieces of what prevention engineering in this case meant.
Now, aside from, I'm sure, a lot of the technical aspects of how to achieve this at a large scale, I'm sure that there's quite a lot of issues getting buy-in from people. Working in a large organization or having worked in large organizations, telling people you're not allowed to install something on their laptop is an uphill struggle, I imagine. How did you get around that initial roadblock of, well, actually, you're not going to be able to install Steam or your own gaming things on your own laptop?
I think that is the biggest crux of the issue, how people feel about what they do on their laptop. And it's also everyone uses their device really differently because there's so many different functions in a company. We're definitely going to go in depth on how we got buy-in during our talk. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but lots of communication, both with our leadership and also everyone that is affected. Maybe people would say we over-communicated, but I think over-communication is better than not enough.
Yeah, I would maybe add to that a couple of things. One, I think it's helpful to put in context both for security folks and for the rest of the company that we're all here to achieve a larger mission than my personal work flavor or trying to ensure that we prevent all of the bad things from happening on the laptop. Kind of up-leveling that conversation to what is the mission of the organization at large is really helpful. And also providing very clear case studies or examples of what has gone wrong in the past at other organizations, such that it's not a bunch of fear, uncertainty, and doubt that we're spreading and saying, we're going to block this thing and we're not really going to tell you why we're blocking it. So we try to be very transparent about why we wanted to do things so that folks could understand the background.
I see it in the notes that Chrome and macOS were some of your biggest targets. Is that because that's about the only things that the organization uses, or that was just the biggest block of them or the biggest target you saw?
They are the primary technologies that we use for pretty much everything at the company. Most all browsing goes through Chrome. All employees have a macOS laptop.
And certainly with Chrome, especially with extensions, there's the ability to do very stupid things very quickly without ever really realizing you've given an extension that changes a button from blue to green full access to read and write every single application or every single page that you open, which I can imagine is a significant downside for companies trying to protect their organization. So it's good to see moving into allow and deny listing as a way of protecting things.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very easy to inadvertently provide too many permissions to a Chrome extension, allowing it to access everything that you're viewing in your tabs, all of the URLs that you're visiting, et cetera. Oftentimes, those tabs have very sensitive information in them, especially in the context of work.
You mentioned that the project was over several years. The landscape, especially for Chrome and OS X, has changed quite significantly over the last 2 to 3 years. Have you seen the functionality in those areas growing to a point where it's really usable for the average company? Or is it still a bit of an uphill struggle to get what you need in place without having to jump through too many fiery hoops?
The space is definitely evolving quite a bit. I think that a lot of the core capabilities that we needed were there 2 years ago. Google provides a fair amount of controls within their enterprise settings to control which extensions, for instance, are deployed to devices. We definitely had to do some custom things there to ensure that we could, for instance, grant access to a certain extension to one group of employees, but not to the rest of the company.
Did you have a lot of instances of where people said, but I'm the exception. I have something I need that nobody else needs, so make an exception for me.
Yep, we definitely had quite a few of those. And sometimes that's totally true, but I think more often than not, a lot of folks do pretty similar things, and we were able to find some commonalities between what they specifically wanted to use and what others wanted to use. And so instead of having seven different things that I'm going to pick on something like edited photo software, we didn't have to get seven. We could figure out what it was that they all needed and maybe try to pick one or two.
Are you able to talk about the impact that you've seen? You started the conversation by saying, how do we reduce the load on detection and response by getting ahead of the game and saying these things aren't allowed? Have you seen a reduction in the load on these kind of teams? I guess that was one of the goals you were aiming for, but have you actually seen that play out?
Yeah, we really have. And so that manifests in a number of ways. Like one was reduced effectively detection and response effort that is required to respond to latest fill in the blank that just popped up on the news yesterday. We also think about these things in terms of like classes of attack that we're preventing. So if you think of like the MITRE attack framework, is there a specific technique that we're effectively able to prevent by adding some of these controls and no longer need to be able to detect that thing? So we've addressed a number of those. We can talk about those, or we will be talking about more of those during the talk. Another thing that was kind of an odd side effect or an interesting side effect was that by reducing the number of applications and the number of extensions on systems, you actually reduce the amount of work that is required by the teams that are managing devices and managing kind of the user experience of those devices, because there are fewer things to go wrong. And the things that go wrong generally happen with applications that many people are using, and they aren't often new.
For people listening to the podcast and hopefully attending the talk in Copenhagen, what would you like them to come away with? How would you like to convince them that this is the talk that they should really spend time listening to?
Yeah, I think that we're really interested in having folks come and attend who are interested in a different set of levers to pull for security controls than maybe we're traditionally used to inside the detection and response space. Folks who are exhausted of kind of being on this detection and response hamster wheel of pain that we often find ourselves on.
I think if folks could go away knowing that there is a viable path to doing some really difficult security work that affects the entire company, and maybe an example of like, this is how it was done at one company, and taking away pieces that could work for them.
Lauren, Steve, thank you very much for joining us and talking to us on the podcast. Really looking forward to catching up in Copenhagen, and thanks again for attending the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the First Impressions podcast, the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. We thank you for listening, and you can find out more at first.org, and we hope to see you in Copenhagen, Denmark, June 22nd through 27th. Thanks and goodbye.